For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, as always, Ed Jordanic. And Mike Coffey's off tonight. Well-deserved rest after that game, being in his hometown.
Did you see Coffey, by the way? Up there?
I didn't.
Okay, yeah. No, I didn't, and I don't know anybody that did. But
maybe he didn't make it.
I don't know.
It would seem strange, there in his hometown. But in any event.
We should thank Ill and Beef and those guys for having a great tailgater, right? It was great to see everybody.
It was, yeah. They put on a heck of a one, too, for Chicagoland. That was a heck of a actually, the overall venue was unbelievable. I'm beginning to wonder if other teams are going to start doing this.
Yeah.
Because it just really says something about the program when you get in an atmosphere like that. Yeah, you're playing in an NFL stadium. I mean, it was just everything about the whole thing.
I mean, Notre Dame is crazy if they don't play, in New York, Chicago, and, Ireland every 5 or 6 years or something like that. I mean, really,
yeah, it really was. I mean, it was a heck of a night. They did a great job. Everything went smoothly. A great stadium to see a football game.
Yeah, it is a good stadium. Yeah, I agree with that.
It's a great stadium. And it looks a lot bigger than 60,000, too. I mean, when I was in there, I was thinking, geez, this is only 60,000.
Well, part of it is like on the lake side, that whole, kind of like middle tier and up is all luxury boxes, right?
Yeah,
if those
exactly.
were seats, it would probably be 80,000.
Exactly.
But,
it's about money. I mean, they probably make a lot more on 60,000 with those boxes than they do 80,000.
Of course they do. I guarantee you the Notre Dame Development Office had all those boxes filled.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah, you would think so. Overall, I mean, we could sit here all night long and talk about all the great things. I thought we should focus on something that's got me a little concerned.
Okay.
After seeing
here we go. Well, I just got into this argument with this guy. Not an argument, but
I want to hear
the cloud that you found in our silver lining. Go ahead, Brammer. Go ahead.
Yeah, there we go. Here's the cloud that I found. How is it that Cam McDaniel is the fourth best running back on our football
team? Was running against a defense that is terrible and that had given up. I mean, he is the fourth best running back on our team. He's a good running back, but I don't think that you would have seen him do what he was doing in the first quarter. I promise you.
I think he's deserved the right to do that. I'm kind of joking.
I know you are. I know you are.
But I'll tell you what I did like about
slow, short white guys.
I do. But I'll tell you what. Here's what I like. Here's what I like about him. If you go look at the film and look at how low he runs to the ground and look at how well he cuts. And look at how he sees the hole and gets every single yard you possibly can with what he's seeing. I think he's got great vision. He does run low. And he's not a guy that when you stick your arm out, you're going to knock him off balance and he's going to fall forward for a yard or two or just get off track. I mean, I think he's shown enough to where he needs at least a shot, maybe just one series, Just give him one series.
You are so funny.
In a first or second
you
quarter.
You are so funny.
Unless these guys are saying something in practice, maybe he's a gamer. Maybe he's just that. Maybe he's just a gamer, and he's a guy that just turns it on when he gets there. But, the thing that I thought was, granted, you can make all the excuses you want about it. It's the fourth quarter and all that stuff. But not only did Miami's defense know he was going to get the ball 11
well, that's
straight
true.
Times.
That's true.
The entire stadium did. Everybody knew he was going to get the ball.
But they had basically their minds had drifted back to their charter, back to South Beach long before Cam McDaniel got into the game. So,
I think so. But even still, I mean, it'll be interesting to see again. This is twice now he's impressed when he's had the chance. I just think it'll be interesting to see.
Well, on our pre Miami game show that you and I did last week, I think you were a little bit closer on the final score than I was. I think you had 40-10 and I had 45-13 or something like that. But we both, I think, clearly said that it would be a little bit of bob and weave in the first half, and then the offensive line would take over in the second half, and Sierre would be key to this game. And, you know, lo and behold, we were both right. You can check the tape.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I will say this, that the, you know, Golson, I had no idea when I showed up in the state. I don't know if you did.
No.
But when I saw Reese line up, I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. I was almost 99.9% positive Kelly wasn't trying to play mind games. And I instinctively thought right away, you know what? Golson's in trouble for something. Something. He is definitely in trouble for something. Because there's just no way that would have made any sense whatsoever to start Reese just out of the blue like that. So, interestingly, that's in fact exactly what it was. And albeit for a pretty doggone good reason, he just didn't tell anybody about it. But, you know, if you're going to meet with – going to meet with a professor and it's going to go long, at least let somebody know.
No, somebody got the word to us before the game, but not that, you know, I had no idea how long he was going to keep him off the field. You know, I didn't know if it was a series or anything like that, but we did know that there was some kind of discipline issue. So, you know, I mean, it's you know, Tommy Reese improves his record as a starting quarterback. Everett Golson you know, gets good experience in a, you know, and this was a pretty, obviously it wasn't a home game in Notre Dame Stadium, but this was a pretty much a bright lights, big city type game. And I know he had some comments afterwards about talking to Teo about, you know, confidence and you just got to enjoy yourself. And he played loose. I mean, you talk about Cam McDaniel, Everett Golson, I know he's a throwing passing quarterback. I know all that. And that's what we want him to be, but he is a naturally gifted runner. Like he sees things, he makes cuts, he sets guys up. He's got a little shimmy to him. I mean, he's just a naturally gifted runner. If he could not throw a football, he would still have a spot on, he would still have a full scholarship to play college football as a running back or as a cornerback or something like that. I mean, he's that good of a, you know, he's that good of a runner and athlete.
I think we need to see a little bit more of that. You know, on the only other downside, I would say that I still, and it's not much of a downside, don't get me wrong, but, you know, from where I was sitting in the stadium, it's clear that he just still isn't quite there yet with
Reese. No, you're right.
He missed Eifert. I'm thinking Teo. You know, Eifert a couple times, especially on that end zone throw on third down. I mean, he had Eifert man to man, you know, and that's exactly what you're trying to get yourself into is that situation. Now, I did see Kelly, you know, screaming at him as he came off to the sidelines. I'm assuming that's what he was telling him. Was, hey, look, you got the matchup you wanted. What were you doing throwing into double? You know, just it just doesn't make any sense. So there's still that to go. But I will say
you haven't watched the game yet, have you?
Yeah, I haven't. Neither, no, yeah. I haven't.
But he whips it out there. I mean, a couple of those out routes.
He did.
Know, those are throws that Tommy cannot make. Or Hendricks, for that matter, I don't think. I think Hendricks' release is too slow.
Yeah, the point I was just going to make is on his reads where they were right, especially like T.J. Jones, who by the way ran some really good routes. I was watching him. He made some great throws to guys that were man-to-man coverage that made some good routes, and he put it on a dime with some zip. So from that standpoint, he really looked
the
good.
He got to Tavares, I think was I mean, you'd know more about this than I would as a quarterback, but he I thought he got it to him in just the right amount of time, gave Tavares a chance to take a hesitation step before he got creamed and to kind of soften the blow, you know, over the middle. It looked like if he would have delivered it a split second later, he would have got, you know, have been defender hitting him right after the ball did, and it would have probably been incomplete or a devastating hit. So he's getting better.
And that was one of his better, that was one of his better throws of the season, I thought, because you know what he did? He did drop back. He saw the space. He knew when and where he had to throw it, just as you said, a little too soon or a little too late, and it could turn disastrous. Right. And he hit it right in space. You know, like you say, it gave Tavares the ability to find it in space, catch it, bring it in, and then cushion himself for the hit. That was definitely one of his better throws of the night. But, you know, overall, I mean, he just looked like he was another notch above. And obviously the confidence level is what we're all hoping to see. But, you know, you really could not pick a better game than the way that turned out for what we needed that. We absolutely needed a run establishing game, but also a game that Golson built confidence, and he did. I mean, you can't ask it any better than
now,
what we got.
Now, where do you come out on this? Because I kind of got into a discussion with somebody today about, because, you know, there's still, I mean, there's just so much reluctance to kind of believe in this team and the progress that it's made and its ability to compete with the rest of the teams on its schedule. It's kind of baffling to me, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, I just don't see this team kind of falling apart. I mean, there might be some distraction that comes up or, you know, another major injury, but I mean, you know, there were people pushing the panic button in August when Lo Wood got hurt. Okay. And since then, they've lost Jamoris as well, you know, and they haven't given a touchdown up in a month. So, you know, it's very interesting to me, but tell me this. So obviously, you know, Miami should have been winning the game 7-0, right? So my thinking is that if Dorsett catches either one of those two balls that he dropped and it is 7-0, I still think, and Miami doesn't, you know, all this what if game, and Miami doesn't rough the punter or have the personal foul penalty or, you know, all the other dumb things that they did in the first quarter. I mean, I still think we would have won something like, you know, 34-13 or, you know, we maybe take some points off the board for us and, you know, add some for them. But I think those things would have changed the final, you know, point spread or the final, you know, score, but I don't think it would have changed the general outcome of the game. Do you?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I texted Sully at 11:42 p.m., you know, obviously 10 minutes after the game, just a one-liner that it said, we're officially for real. So I think it's that. I mean, I think that I agree with you. Although I think it would have helped Miami momentum-wise, right. You know. I think the inevitable would have happened, which is – and again, I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, I was in the stadium. I stayed till the very last minute of the game. I didn't leave the stadium until after, you know, we sang our song in the end zone. But I was watching the defensive line. Holy cow, were those guys, are we so much more in shape? And was Miami just absolutely worn to pieces? Yeah. And we're dealing with the defensive line that seemed fresher than what they were in the first quarter. And I think that's what is really the difference this year with Notre Dame and why I think they're totally legit. And I agree with you. There isn't this sense that, you know what, here we go. Now, I will say this, moving ahead, there is, you know, a little bit of concern for me, and that would be the game that you always end up having at least once a season when you've got a great defense. You have that one game where you get unlucky with either a kick return, a pick six, a punt return, and then all of a sudden, twice you get beat. Kind of like what happened in the first quarter of Miami. Twice you get beat. Next thing you know, we're staring at 21 points. Is our offense good enough to put that on the board? And prior to this game, I was extremely concerned with Stanford coming in, thinking, you know what, that might be that game if this offense doesn't
click. You know, the next big test for this football team is playing from behind. I mean, it has not done that all year. It has not trailed in a football game this year. So, you know, whether that happens this week at Stanford or, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, you would think the law of averages is going to catch up. I don't think that we're going to hold Stanford to without a touchdown. Now, granted, they scored 48 points against an Arizona team that I think, you know, trots out 7 cheerleaders and 4 mascots on defense. You know, I mean, Rich Rod, I don't think has fielded a defense since he coached high school in West Virginia 20 years ago or something. But, you know, it's, I think that's really the next, you know, when we're going to kind of see what these guys are made of. But I mean, you know, you can look at it so many ways. If we would have, you know, when we talked, when we did our show last week, I don't think either of us, you know, predicted that we would have this kind of success and hold Miami, you know, regardless of how many mistakes they made, without a touchdown if we didn't have a single sack. Right. And we did not have a single sack. We made Morris run around. I actually thought that quarterback and that offensive line had a pretty good game for three quarters. You know, the receivers let him down, you know, and they're.
Yeah. He threw the ball well.
He's a good quarterback. A
Yeah. He's got a strong arm. And yeah,
he's
I agree.
He's the best quarterback we played this year so far.
So far, I would agree. And I think that, you know, from that standpoint, I don't think anything. Granted, they would have been up 7-0. The two drops were on the one drive.
That's right.
So it's not like it was 14. That's right. So it would have been 7-0.
And they dropped other balls, but yeah,
and they did. And you know, but I tend to agree with you. The same thing would have happened. We would have gotten up a score, and then another, and then slowly another. Right. And, you know, it's just the way that it is. There is going to come a time, obviously, this season where we will have to come from behind. And whether it's Stanford or the next game, it's going to happen. But I don't think that's going to be so much of a huge concern because we haven't seen it yet. Only because when your defense is as good as it is, they tend to keep you in ball games as well.
You know, the guys I was sitting with made this point, and I think it's a great one. That to me, a really great sign for Notre Dame fans was Brian Kelly's confidence in Everett Golson to run the 1 minute drill basically at the end of the first half. I mean, you know, he could have easily you know, sat on it, gone into the locker room with they missed the field goal. You know, they didn't add to their lead, but he took them right down, got them in position. And I think Brian Kelly, I don't know, you know, I think hopefully he did that because he trusts Everett Golson, whatever, but also he knows, you know, here's I got my guy, we get the ball to start the second half. And I got to show this guy that, you know, he's my guy. I trust him. He'd been having a good half. He'd been accurate. You know, why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, so. I like that. I like that mindset. I really like the aggressiveness. I love the way that Everett got them in position for a field goal. Brinson missed it. And that just carried right through because the first drive of the second half, you know, I think is probably the only time in the second half that he threw the ball again. Because, you know, I think they had 100, you know, 150 some yards of passing at halftime and finished with 186 or something like that. So I, you know, maybe one or two drives in the third quarter, but after that, they, you know, they never threw the ball again. So,
yeah, I was sitting there with my brother Mark, and he said the same exact thing. He's like, "What are we doing throwing the ball? There's a minute left." And I was saying to him, "Hey, wait a minute now. You know, let's see what happens with this. I think you can pull this off." Part of it, I'm sure, is that there's also the confidence of your defense.
Right.
I mean, I think Kelly knew that, you know what, even if it does go bad, our defense will hold us.
Right.
But certainly there was at least some sort of confidence in Golson that he could, and he did. He looked good. He executed. And it was, you know, I think that in and of itself is going to be a huge stepping stone for him moving ahead. But, you know, other than that, into the second half where the ground game really started to pick up, I mean, I think that certainly what we saw is what we've been hoping to see with the shuffling in of the backs that we've been doing in that, you know, you got Sierra Wood who's going to be able to read and cut and make the right cuts and have that little bit of burst. He doesn't have that breakaway speed, obviously. But he does have that burst speed where he can hit the hole and even move laterally as he's done now in a couple games.
He gets to the edge pretty quickly. I mean, he's
he does.
And you know, we never talk about but not too often. But you know, this was a really important game for Lombard, Watt, Cave, Martin, and Golic because they were expected, quote unquote, to kind of dominate at some point in this football game. You know, Miami, you know, pretty bad defense, you know, especially against the run, et cetera, et cetera. And they went out and did it, you know, and it took a little while to get rolling, but when they did it, they really did it. And they deserve a hat tip because they just kind of manhandled those guys in the second half.
They did, yeah. And I thought, you know, a great sign for us was – not just running the football, but the way we did it. I mean, it wasn't like it was such a mix between pass and run that just they were on their heels and they had no idea. We literally just came right at them in the second half. And, you know, it was great from my standpoint because it just seemed like almost from the get-go in the first quarter, Notre Dame was literally like running downhill.
Right.
Almost like the football field was slanted down towards the defense every time we had the ball.
The main reason it was great to me because it was still a ball game. I mean, if you're Al Golden and you go in the locker room at halftime, it's like, dudes, you know, we're a drop or two away and a stupid penalty away from being ahead in this football game. You know, we can beat these guys. You know, we're ready to go. And, you know, let's get out there. Let's get a stop. And, you know, we're right back in this thing. But Notre Dame never even let them breathe. Which was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah. It was. And it was neat to see Atkinson get loose off the wing and, you know, see his speed. It looked like right at the moment that he broke, it looked like the cornerback had an angle on him, and man, did he just shoot out of a cannon. It really goes to show what speed can do for you.
And, you know,
but overall,
the young guys again, I mean, that's why I just, I kind of cringe when I hear the term rebuilding year. I mean, we've talked about this before. I just don't think those exist anymore, you know, in college sports a lot of times. I mean, you know, it's, you got these guys and they got to get them ready to play. I mean, Shoemate had a lot of time again. You know, Farley gained more experience. You know, Kavari, yeah. You know, even though he got torched at the, you know, at the outset, recovered real well to play a good game. You know, we didn't even hear, you know, Mata had another strong game because we didn't really, you know, pick him out and say, oh, he missed this or that. That didn't happen at all. Right. You know, and I thought the middle of the field, I thought Teo had a slow start. He looked pretty sluggish and kind of off. And then he kind of picked up as the game went on. And he and Fox and you can't say enough about the front seven. I mean, they bring it every down.
Yeah, you know, and they did what I thought they were going to do. My brother and I were talking before the game, and you know, he thought, man, we're going to send four or five guys and put pressure on these guys. And I was like, I don't see that. I see them rushing three and still putting pressure right on them. And sure enough, most of the game they did that. They you know, part of the reason we only had zero right sacks is because we rushed three guys. Yep. Most
and
of
after
the time.
That drive, they kept everything in front of them. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Nothing. The rest of the game, nothing got behind them, and hence is the reason why. And especially when the field gets shorter, we get better as defense. There's less field to cover. We're quicker to the ball. People don't exploit us on the outside anymore. That just doesn't happen. And you know, that's a credit to the front seven. And I think that, you know, that's going to keep us in games. You know, looking ahead, Stanford, I do think that this is going to be the game that'll probably test us mentally. Right. And I think that from what I've seen, I saw them play a majority against USC, and then I saw some, maybe a quarter's worth against the game that they struggled 18 to 14,
Washington,
whatever that game was. Yeah, and you know, I think defensively they're there. They have some serious athletes on defense. But offensively, I can't see them going up and down the field on us and putting 28 points on the board. So, you know, this could be that game where somehow Stanford sneaks in, you know, two, maybe three scores on if they get a punt return or something like that. And then it's going to be up to the offense. Can we put points on the board against a team like this and win one from our side of the ball instead of having the defense?
Well, I'm sure Arizona's offense is pretty good, but I mean, 48 points is 48 points. I mean, you know, if Notre Dame can't score half, well, you know, listen, college football's up and down. You know, you can, you know, listen, Miami scored 56 last week and they couldn't even score a touchdown against us, you know, so it ebbs and it flows, but no, it's a really good test. You know, College Game Day is coming to South Bend. There's going to be a lot of hype, and it's going to be another chance for Golson, especially, to kind of make another step, because, you know, he can't come out and lay an egg and be kind of disengaged the way he was against Michigan. And that will, you know, that's our offense is going to go the way that he goes. And it would be a huge, huge deal for him against a good team, against a team that was ranked in the top 10 at the beginning of the year. And, you know, is obviously a team that, you know, is balanced, and it's pretty hard, has a reputation now for being pretty hard nosed. I mean, if he comes out and plays a good game and we don't need to bring in Tommy off the bench or whatever, then his confidence is just going to grow. And, you know, it's becoming more and more evident to me that it is a confidence game with him. And, you know, that Saturday was a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, it definitely is. I do think that, you know, Stanford's going to think this one through, and they're going to come up with a game plan. If anything, maybe not to put so much pressure on them, but to definitely try and confuse them. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they show two-man coverage on Eifert and then pull out of it and go man-to-man. Because it seems evident that you know, unless he clearly sees it from the get-go, he's not looking Eifert's way.
Right. Right.
So, you know, you may see some of that from Stanford. But, you know, college football is an emotional game. We've got young guys playing. This is a huge game for Stanford. From where they're sitting right now, if they win this game, they're right back smack in the middle of the hunt from a BCS standpoint with what's left on their schedule and so forth. So,
Well, Notre Dame fans should go to work tomorrow morning with a real, you know, real smile on their face. I mean, it is. I mean, and we got to give Brian Kelly his due. You and I exchanged some texts about this last night. I mean, you know, nobody picked him to be 5-0 at this point. If there's anybody out there, please, you know, put a comment on our website, because I certainly, you know, wasn't there. I was the outlier picking them to go 10-3. Everybody else was, you know, 8-5. That all could still happen, but you don't get that feeling. You get this feeling that it's a solid, balanced football team, that they're comfortable in their own skin. They're comfortable with their identity offensively, or at least it's getting there. And the defense is solid, knows how to take a punch and knows how to respond. And a lot of that, you know, it starts.
Well, I'm in agreement with you there. Unfortunately, we're running long on this, but let's leave it there. We'll do another show later this week and let the Notre Dame fans enjoy it as it is. For now, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.